Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open them with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to bring you a study today on this subject, the fellowship of God's Son. The fellowship of God's Son. And I'm going to be going verse by verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I want to show you something here, a very important truth, the fellowship of God's Son. Now, the Apostle Paul begins his epistle to the church at Corinth with a truth that every believer knows. Every one of you who are listening to me know this truth. And everyone who would know God and who would seek the Lord and who would have fellowship with the Lord must learn this truth, with which Paul begins the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. In these first 10 verses, Paul declares emphatically and plainly that Jesus Christ is all and in all that God has for the sons of men. In other words, everything spiritually that God has for you and me and for every believer is in Christ. He's all and He's in all. The gospel of salvation is concerning His Son. That's what Paul said to the Roman church. He said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I'm dedicated, separated to the gospel of Christ, which is concerning His Son. God's gospel is concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything that God has for the believer, we know this, is in Christ. In other words, the Scripture says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. And John says, this is the record. This is the record. This is the written word of God, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life's in His Son. In His Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In other words, like an old Puritan preacher said many years ago, it's Christ, not the cross, that saves. It's the person, not the profession, that saves. It's the Christ and not the church that redeems. It's the Master and not the Mother who's the mediator. It's the Redeemer. It's the Redeemer Himself and not the rosary to which we pray. It is the Bridegroom. It's not the Brotherhood. It is the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. It's the obedience of Christ that gives us a perfect holiness. It is the love of Christ that brings us to the Father. It is the faithfulness of Christ that keeps us in the way. It is the presence of Christ at the right hand of God as our advocate and mediator. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. Christ, as our mediator, stands between our souls and God. Upon both parties, He lays His hands, presenting His precious blood. Christ is my rock. On Him I build. He's my life, my hope, my all. His promise shall be fulfilled. He will never let us fall. It is not Christ and my faith. It is not Christ and my confession. It is not Christ and my works. It is not Christ and my church membership. It is not Christ and my feelings. It is not Christ and my experience. It is Christ alone who saves. That's the truth with which Paul begins this first book of the Corinthians. Everything that God has for the sinner is in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ, and based on the person and work of His Son. Now, if you will, you take your Bible today, and let's go verse by verse, just 10 verses, and there's a point in each verse, a special point which Paul makes in each verse. And I'll show you in these first 10 verses how the apostle exalts and magnifies and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an example of what it is to preach Christ. You know, Paul always said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. Well, this is what he's doing. He's preaching Christ. Now look at verse 1. This is the way he starts. This is the first epistle to the Corinthian church. This is the church to which Paul ministered, the church which he loved, the church in which he stayed for 18 months one time, just preaching to them, teaching them the Word of God. This is the city of which God said to Paul, you stay right there. You stay right there in Corinth. Nobody's going to touch you. Nobody's going to harm you. I have much people in this city. You stay there and preach to them. And he did for 18 months. And then when he went away, and the Spirit of God led him to write this letter to the church at Corinth, I want you to watch how he begins it, the first 10 verses. Now watch it, verse 1. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. We always talk about the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and the Apostle James and John. What is an apostle? What is an apostle? Did you ever look up the word? Well, I'll tell you what it is. An apostle is one who is sent. One who is sent. That's what the word means. One who is sent on a special, particular mission. One who is sent on a mission. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is called an apostle? An apostle of the Father? That's right. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent. He said, as my Father sent me. He said when he prayed in John 17, I've finished the work you sent me or gave me to do. He's an apostle and high priest of our profession. He was sent. And he said to his disciples, as my Father sent me, even so I send you. And this is what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. He's saying, I'm an apostle. I'm sent on a mission. And my mission is Jesus Christ. That's my mission. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm a messenger of Jesus Christ. I'm sent on a mission to declare Jesus Christ. And he said in chapter 2 of this epistle that he came to preach Christ and determined to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ. That's what an apostle will do. He'll do what he's sent to do, to make Christ known, to preach Christ. And every true apostle and every true evangelist and every true pastor and teacher has one message. And he'll preach it every time he preaches. And that message is Christ. Old John Flavel wrote a book called Method of Grace. And in that book, he has a sermon, one of the greatest sermons I've ever read. It has 5 points. This message has 5 points. Number one, he said, everything that God has for a son of Adam, a sinner, is in Christ. Point two, and everything that God has for the sinner becomes ours in Christ by faith. That's right. Faith lays hold of Christ. Faith embraces Christ. Faith receives Christ. And everything God has for the sinner in Christ is ours because of a union with Him. It's not from us, it's from Him. Everything I have is because I'm one with Him. He's the head, I'm the body. He's the vine, we're the branches. But everything's from Him. It's in Him, of Him, through Him, by Him, for His glory. Fourthly, and every blessing comes by the power of God's Spirit. We're called of the Spirit of God. The gospel, we're regenerated, taught by the Spirit of God. And fifthly, the Spirit of God uses the preaching of the gospel to reveal Christ. You see that? Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm sent to preach Christ. All right, notice verse 2. And he says, I'm writing to the church at Corinth. To those, listen, I'm writing to the church at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing to those in the church at Corinth who are sanctified in Christ. What does sanctified mean? Well, sanctified means to be holy. To be holy before God. To be holy before God. The Scripture says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. That's right. It means to be perfect. It means to be without stain, without spot, or without sin. To be holy in God's sight. Well, you ask, how in the world can a sinner be holy before God? Job said, how can man be clean that's born of a woman? How can he be justified with God? Behold, the moon, it shineth not. The stars are not pure in God's sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man who drinks iniquity like the water? How can we be sanctified, perfectly holy, in God's sight? It says right here, we're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. I tell you, we make a mistake when we try to establish a righteousness of our own. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 10. He said, my heart is so heavy for my brethren according to the flesh. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our holiness. You see, that's what Paul said in Romans 5. By the disobedience of one, many became sinners. By the obedience of Christ, we were made righteous. Righteous. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Justified by His blood. Sanctified by His life. Redeemed by His love. In the body of His flesh. Listen to this. In Colossians 1:22. In the body of His flesh, through death, He'll present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable before God. Oh, I tell you, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Sanctified, perfectly holy in Christ. All right, watch verse 3 now. He says, grace be unto you and peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be unto you from Christ, through Christ. You know, I know that most people try to picture God looking upon this world and all mankind in love, in peace, in harmony. I know that's the way that God is presented by most people today. He's just in love with the world, and everything's peaceful with God, and everything's in harmony. But that's not the God of the Scriptures. Consider God's wrath and judgment against Adam in the Garden of Eden. When He put him under a judgment, under a curse, and his whole posterity under that curse, and separated him, cast him out of the garden. Think about God's judgment, His judgment during the days of Noah, when the whole world fell under God's wrath and God's judgment and was destroyed. Think about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you thought about that? How that God's wrath fell upon the great cities of the plains and just devoured them and everybody in them. Consider the Scriptures that says God will by no means clear the guilty. Or that Scripture which says God's angry with the wicked. Or that Scripture that says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I tell you, my friend, the Scriptures picture God dealing in judgment and wrath with sin. You go to Calvary's cross, and you'll see God dealing with sin, imputed sin, sin born by Christ, not His own, but someone else's sins, our sin. If God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up to wrath and judgment and death, you think He'll spare the unbelievers of this world? I tell you, guilty men need grace. Where is grace found? In Christ. That's what that verse says. Verse 3, grace be unto you from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where grace is found. Sinners need mercy. Where's mercy found? In Christ. Enemies need reconciling. Where's reconciliation found? In Christ. We need peace with God. And the only way to have peace with God is to be in the Prince of Peace. In Christ. That's right. This is the fellowship of His Son I'm talking about. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace with God through the blood of His cross, by Christ to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Christ, I say, to reconcile all things, whether they be in heaven or on earth. And listen, and you who were enemies, in your wicked minds, hath He now reconciled by the blood of His cross. Oh, where is grace found? In Christ. Where is peace found? In Christ. Look at verse 4. Continuing this, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you. Paul writing to this church at Corinth now. For the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Now listen, that in everything, you are enriched by Him. In everything. There's nothing that I have that He didn't give me. That's eternal, that's lasting, that's worth having. There's nothing I know that He didn't teach me. There's nothing I am that He did not make me. There's nothing I hope to be that I won't find through Him. We used to sing a little chorus that talks about our dependence upon Christ for all things. You know, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1, of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now here's the chorus. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. All I need. He alone is all my plea. He's all I need. My wisdom, my righteousness, my power, my holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure. He's all I need. And that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10 when he summed up his own experience. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. All right, let's read on. Verse 6 now. Paul said, even as the testimony of Christ, the gospel of Christ, was confirmed in you, is preached to you and confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, Christ is all. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in Him. Everything we have, everything from God, is in Christ, through Christ, and of Christ. That's what Paul started out with. He said, I'm an apostle of Christ. I'm a servant of Christ. I'm sanctified in Christ. I am redeemed and accepted in Christ. I am justified in Christ. I have grace and peace with God in Christ. I have all things that I need and all things that God requires, and God hath made us meet. Did you ever read that verse in Colossians 1:12? God hath made us meet. You know what that word meet is? Sufficient. Qualified. Fit to inherit the glory of the saints in His kingdom. God has made us fit, qualified, and meet, and sufficient to inherit eternal glory. Where? In Christ. We have all things in Christ. Now watch what we're saying here in verse 6. And we're waiting for His return. We're waiting for His return for the redemption of our bodies. You know, our Lord said He would return. He gathered His disciples about Him before He went to the cross. And He said, now, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Me. In My Father's house are many abiding places, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now listen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Paul says, we're waiting. We're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said He would return. And then when He went to the cross and died, was buried, and rose again, and He appeared to the disciples and to the people for about 40 days, and He took them out on a mountainside, and He spoke to them. He said, tarry into Jerusalem till you be endued with power, with the Holy Spirit. And then you go preach the gospel to every creature. And as He was speaking to them, the Scripture said He was taken up from their presence into heaven. He ascended before their eyes, went back to the Father. And they stood, the disciples stood gazing into heaven, and the angels of the Lord appeared to them and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who loved you, died for you, rose again, He's gone back to the Father to intercede for you. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. He's coming back. We're waiting for His return. The Apostle Paul said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and Christ is coming back. You say, preacher, I hear folks talking a lot about the second coming. Tell us some things about the end time. Let me tell you something. Now you listen to me. You don't need to be concerned about all the events, and advents, and judgments, and Armageddon, tribulation, and all of these things, and judgments and rewards and all these things. You know what you need to be concerned about? You need to be concerned about one thing. Do you know Christ? Does He know you? Do you believe the gospel? Have you laid hold of Christ for mercy and grace and rested, trusted in Him and Him alone? He's coming back. I don't know when. It doesn't matter when. He knows. The Lord knows. Nobody else knows. He's coming back when He pleases. And when He comes back, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to raise the dead, and we're going to be changed into His likeness, into His image, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I don't need to confuse my mind with all the things that God has on His calendar. That's God's business, and the secret things belong to Him. Our Lord's coming. We're looking for Him. He will return, and He'll receive us and take us into Himself. And verse 8 says, and concerning that day of the Lord, He'll confirm you to the end. He'll keep you. He'll protect you. He'll sustain you. He'll comfort you. And He'll confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord. That's all that matters. He's coming. He's coming. What happens when He comes is unimportant. It's His coming for which we look. His coming. And when He comes, everything's going to be all right. Because He said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm going to leave it right there and be totally happy, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, He'll finish it. He'll perform it. He'll perfect it in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's His day. And He'll be victorious in His day, and all of His people in Him will be victorious. This is the will of Him that sent me, that of everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. And that's all you need to do, just rest in Him. Besides that, some of us are getting up in years, and Christ is coming for us very soon now. We don't have to worry about tribulation and Armageddon and Valley of the Dead and Valley of Megiddo and all this sort of thing. We don't have to be concerned about that. We can just rest in our Redeemer. And when He calls, go to meet Him. Someday somebody will say, the Master's come and He's calling for you. And that'll be all right one. Whether He comes in the clouds or whether He comes in the middle of the night or whether He comes right now, takes us home. Look at verse 9, and I'll quit. Because God is faithful. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son. Three people there. God is faithful who called you into the fellowship of His Son. That's what all this is. True religion is not form and social life. It's faith in Christ and a union with Him by faith.